we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs. We want to thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast right here on WMIE 91.5. I want to start off today by saying thank you to those of you who've been visiting our services of late, and for the phone calls of encouragement and the emails, and thank you for allowing us to partner with you in prayer. It has been greatly encouraging. I had a meeting the other day with our worship leader who works in kind of an office type setting where she encounters the public, and she was saying, Pastor, whenever I get the opportunity, I start talking about who you are, and she said, you'd be amazed at the number of people who say that they listen to you on the radio. And so we want to say thank you for taking part of your day to listen to the Word of God, and we pray that it does enrich and empower your life. We want to take this one last opportunity that we have today to invite you to come and join us this Sunday. We have a special Sunday service. Our worship leader is away. They're off celebrating their anniversary. And so this week we have the Cashmans that are with us, Jonathan and Brittany, and they are recording artists. They've been worship leaders at some very, very prominent churches here, the Winter Park Calvary over in Winter Park, Florida. And now they are traveling doing music ministry. So they are going to come be with us. And if you would like to come be a part of that service, we would love to have you. They're going to be leading worship and preaching the word as well, sharing what God has done in their lives. We look forward to what God is going to do this coming Sunday. Now, we do not have a Sunday night service because of the holiday weekend. And so we want you to pay special attention to that. We do want to say thank you today to Teresi Auto Sales and Repair, 632-9777. You know, most of the time I talk about the car sales part, but they also have a phenomenal service department there. And if you need your car worked on, give them a call, 632-9777. Tell them you heard about it on the Refresh Radio broadcast. Tell them Pastor Bob said that they should give you a call. So, or you should give them a call. However, that is supposed to come out of my mouth this morning. So want to take you in the scriptures this morning to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. And the good news is that whenever God makes a promise, he keeps that promise. And in verse number 6 is where we're going to begin reading today. We're not going to read a lot of the passage. In fact, we'll probably just read two verses. They are very familiar passages of Scripture. We talk about them normally during Christmas time because it talks about the advent of Christ, where he comes and takes the form of a human being. And so let's look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And this passage is particularly exciting to me right now because of the season that we are in our life, where we recently added a grandson to our family, and we're extremely thankful to the Lord for his arrival. And the whole family gathered together because of this joyous event of this child being born. The child that Isaiah is referring to here is the child that was prophesied in earlier chapters, in chapter 7, where he says that, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. And so this child that Isaiah had was to be a sign to his contemporaries. But it is also a messianic prophecy that deals with Jesus and with the birth that was to take place in Bethlehem. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder." You see, what this child indicates, when you recognize that children are not an accident, that they are divinely placed and divinely formed for a divine purpose, when you realize that, then you realize that whenever that child is born, that God is saying, there is a future, there is hope, there is something that is coming that I believe in. I believe in your future. And so it says, "For unto us a child is born." One of the interesting things that I find about the fulfillment of this passage of Scripture is that God speaks to Mary and tells Mary, said, "You are to call his name Jesus." And Joseph is about to divorce Mary. They were engaged at that point in time, but it was still a binding situation in that culture. And God speaks to Joseph in a dream, and he says, "And you are to call him by the name Jesus," that they both had a role, that they both had to come in the spirit of unity, and they had to realize that Jesus was what God wanted that baby to be called. You see, Jesus means the Lord saves. It's related to the word. Well, and if you were to understand it in Hebrew, it would be Yeshua, God, the Lord saves. He still saves. He's still in the salvation business. You and I, we tend to focus on how contentious and chaotic things might be, but I want you to know that God is still in the salvation business. He sent Jesus here with a particular mission, and that was to save humanity. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God sent his Son to bring salvation. So it says, "For unto us a child is born." And everybody in that Christmas story, they had a role to play. They were there. It was not without significance of what was taking place. And so the shepherds, they had their role. The wise men, they had their role. And so it says Luke chapter 2, verse number 10, "Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." You see, Jesus was not just born for Mary. Jesus was not just born for Joseph. Jesus was born for us. He was born for the redemption of mankind. And if you have ever thought that you were left out or excluded, we had a discussion with some of our boys the other night of how to respond if you ever feel left out. And I want you to know that men may leave you out of participation, but God never will. God never will. He knows exactly where you are. He's shaping you. He's forming you. He knows exactly where he's placed you and for what purpose you were formed. The other day we were in prayer, and I was I just had this appreciation for one of the families that we had us over for dinner. I mean, it was absolutely wonderful. And it was homemade Thai food. It was absolutely phenomenal. And Then the husband showed me the garage, which was his workshop, and I was in awe because there were all of these tools. And part of the awe was they were organized. That's something that doesn't happen at my house. You know, no matter how many times I try and get it organized, it just ends up being one of those things where I can't find what I'm looking for. This guy, he would have been able to walk over at any given point in time and pick up whatever tool he needed because it was so organized. But I appreciated the tools because I could tell from the way things were done that he not only possessed the tools, he knew how to use them. You could see the fruits of his labor. And as I was praying, I had an appreciation for these masterpiece works of art. And nobody ever thinks of the tool, the way that the paints were formulated. Now, maybe an art major someplace might appreciate it, and they might appreciate the brush strokes. But for most of us, we just look at the masterpiece and we identify that work of art with the painter, with the artist who painted it, because we recognize that the skill was not in the tool. The skill was in the hand of the craftsman who created the masterpiece. God sent his son for you and I. He doesn't want you and I excluded. Now, he never does anything just because he's bored. He always does. God does what he has in mind because there is a purpose for it. And now listen to what the purpose is, because this is going to be very, very important in understanding the relationship that Jesus wants to have with you and with me. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder." And the government will be upon his shoulder. One of the most frowned upon organizations in America right now is the government. Everybody wants the government's help. Nobody wants to really be that close to the government officials unless they're trying to influence those government officials, because people don't trust them. They don't like them. And, you know, we have some fine representatives in our area. We're thankful for them, people who love God. But you see, here's what happened. God says the government was to be upon his shoulders. The government was supposed to be upon Jesus' shoulders. It's supposed to be the burden that he carries, not that we carry. When we govern, when government is built upon the foundation and the relationship with Jesus Christ, it's going to be wonderful. The scripture says that the nation rejoices when the righteous are in authority. But what has happened here in the past several decades is that we have tried to shift more and more governmental responsibility away from biblical values, Judeo-Christian ethics. We've tried to shift from that to a more of a secular mindset or a modern philosophy, where multicultural values, I would say. And that doesn't mean that it's got to be just one ethnic group, but we've got to do things upon the foundation of God's word. Government comes from that, because if you don't do that, then what takes place is you devolve into anarchy. You see, people believe in evolution. They believe that things are changing, that they are improving, and that really is not something that takes place in nature. Left to their own devices, things deteriorate. They don't self-improve. And so you and I, if we do not allow the government to rest upon the shoulders and the responsibility of Jesus, the values of the Word of God, then we are going to devolve to the place where we are going to end up doing what it talks about in the Old Testament, where everyone does what is right in his own eyes. And so if everyone does what is right in their own eyes, then stealing is okay because, well, I needed that more than you did. If that is the place, then it is going to be that we're going to have a society filled with covetousness, stealing, dishonor. It's going to be chaos. Anarchy never manifests order. It always manifests chaos. And if it does, what happens is whenever somebody does what is right in their own eyes, eventually the stronger or the more formidable are going to rise to a position of power, and they are going to enslave and oppress the weaker and those under them because they've got to stay on the top of the mountain. I don't know if you remember some of the animated movies where it portrays where the stronger ends up getting attacked by the weaker, you know, because if I can't get you today, then I'm just going to wait patiently until you get a little bit older and I get a little bit stronger, you get a little bit weaker, and then I will challenge you again. You see, whenever you are a dictator, in fact, one of my dear friends, his grandfather was one of the early people who came and were staunch supporters of us at Merit Assembly of God. And he said, dictators always end up killing the people that they govern. And he lived to be 81 or 82 years old, something like that. And he said, dictators, the only way they stay in power is they have to kill their own people. And that's not the way that God wants us. He wants the government to be upon his shoulders. And some people would say, well, don't tell, you know, I don't want anybody telling me what to do. Well, that's anarchy. That's anarchy. That's rebellion. And it's not going to end well for you. You see, if you don't allow this government to take place, then you will not receive all of the benefits that are described here in the coming verses. But when we allow Jesus to be not only our Savior, but we also allow him to be our Lord, our King, our Sovereign, where he tells us how we should then live. He sets up and establishes the government. Government upon the foundation of God's word works. Government built upon the ideas of man to the rejection of God never works. It is failure waiting to happen. And it will manifest itself over and over and over again. And so I believe it's not only government on a national level, but I believe it is also government on a church level. And right now we're seeing huge, violent, spiritually violent shifts taking place in major denominations' approach to the Word of God. And they're saying, well, that word doesn't mean what it appears to mean. It means something else, and we need to rewrite and redefine so that, you know, we don't ostracize anybody. Look, every one of us needs forgiveness. We all need a Savior, but we also need that Sovereign. Every person needs to have an authority over them. Every person. I have people in authority over me. I treasure them. I treasure them because the Bible says that the heart is deceitfully wicked above all else. Who can know it? That means that if I'm left to myself, my heart can deceive even me. Everybody else, I've heard people say, everybody else could see the bad things that were going on in my life, but I couldn't see it. I just rationalized it away. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't too damaging, and so I didn't see it. And so, folks, I encourage you, let's make sure that our churches function on the Word of God. So I have this philosophy, and I'm thankful for the team that we have at Merit Assembly of God, because I want a worship leader who believes that worship is the most important thing that takes place, because it takes place in heaven. It ought to take place down here on earth. I want a children's minister, and we have a marvelous children's minister. Her name is Sharon Butler, I want a children's minister who believes that children's ministry is the most important ministry in the church, because Jesus said, "Let the little children come unto me." I want a youth pastor, we've got a wonderful one in Craig Butler, who believes that youth are the future of the church, and we need to be training them up in the things of God. We need to train them up for a love for the Word of God, to where God will protect them and guide them, and they will not have disastrous consequences that await them because they do life apart from God's Word. They don't allow Him to be the God. So I want people who believe that every aspect of the ministry. I'm looking for people who believe that evangelism is the most important part. I'm looking for people who believe that the supernatural demonstration of the power and the love of God, the signs and the wonders and the miracles, that is the most important part. And I look in the mirror every day and say, God, your word is the most important thing, because your word never misses its mark. It never fails to have a return on your investment. And God, so I want to sow the word. That's what I'm here for. I believe in the Word of God. And so churches should be built upon the government of God. It should rest upon His shoulders. And not only is that on a corporate level, it also is on an individual level. So let me ask you right now, who governs you? Who governs you? Who helps keep you on the straight and narrow path? Who says to you, this is the way, walk in? Is it something that you just decide by your feelings or by your emotions? Or are you saying, God, you are not just my Savior, you are my Lord. Tell me how you want me to live my life. You see, I believe that we ought to really appreciate the Word of God, because God gives us, it is His gift. His word is alive, it is quick, it is powerful, it disarms temptation, it empowers to holiness, and it leads to a higher quality of life. You see, it is not how many toys you end up with, it's not how many tools you end up with, it is how much of Jesus do you have living in your heart. Have you accepted Jesus as His Savior, but yet you're still trying to allow the same person on the throne that got you into the mess that you needed rescuing from in the first place? You see, a lot of people, they want to raise their hand for salvation, but then they want to go and live the same way that they did before. They want to make their own decisions. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to do with my time. Don't tell me what to do with my resources. Don't tell me what to do with my body. And as a result, we've got a lot of people who raised their hands and said the sinner's prayer, and they're still living the same sin-filled lifestyle that they had before. Here is the reality that I came to probably 11 years ago, and that is this. Whenever I'm trying to do something that I'm not supposed to be doing, it creates stress in my life, and stress can kill you. Carrying undue stress can kill you. I believe that our government right now is carrying burdens that the church was designed to carry. Ministry to people was supposed to be not just a meeting of the tangible needs, but it was supposed to be a ministry to the spiritual needs. And so we want to minister to the poor. We want to minister to the widows and the orphans. We want to minister, but we also want to accompany that with the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. We are thankful for what Jesus did. And if you are listening today and you're still making your own decisions, I want to encourage you today to line up with Isaiah chapter 9 and say, Jesus, the government of my life, I resign. I resign from making those decisions. I put all of that authority in your hands, and what you tell me to do, that's what I'm going to do. When I first went into the ministry, there was a person who came up to me. I was going off to Bible college or going off to my first youth ministry position. I think it was that one. And he came up to me and he said, you know, God called me into the ministry and I never went because I decided to go into business and make money and support my family instead. And you know what? Even though he was in church, and even though he was probably in his 50s at that time, the money that he had made, and he was quite successful, had not brought him the fulfillment that he thought it would. You know, it would have been a lot better if he had said, God, I will do what you want me to do. If you want life to be better for you, let Jesus be your ruler, not just your Savior. If you want life to be difficult and challenging, then you just continue to make your own decisions. Several years ago, I encountered some situations, and there were a number of people who were making life-altering decisions. And so I had conversations with each and every one of them, and I was listening for one key thing. And there were many of them that were making them for various decisions, and not saying they were bad decisions, but here's the one thing that I noticed. Not one time did any of those people say, you know, God has told me that this is what he wants me to do. And let me tell you, there can be some fine decisions for things, but what I want is I want God saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. You know, as you're getting ready to go off this weekend, there may be people who try and lure you to do all sorts of things. Let's allow God to be the one that sits on the throne and say, I'm opening this door and I'm closing this door. I will lead you in the path of righteousness for my name's sake. Amen. So today you have a child that has been born. His name is Jesus. Let's allow the government to be upon his shoulders. Father, right now in the name of the Lord, we come to you and we want to thank you for salvation. But Lord, I want to thank you even more for your lordship. Lord, you said every knee would bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You are our Lord right now. Have your way. God bless you. Hopefully we'll see you this weekend for the Cashmans. And if not, we'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve you. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me. Please take them away. Purify my heart. Don't wanna lose the eternal for the things that are passing. 'Cause
all will I have when the world is gone? If it isn't for the love that goes on and on with my one thing, you're my one.